This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
You remember those evangelicals and those Roman Catholics who told us Barack Obama is actually going to reduce abortions. Barack Obama is actually going to be good for the pro-life movement. Well, Barack Obama signed today an executive order that will fund the destruction of human so-called embryos, human babies, for the purpose of research. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And my question to you is, where does the pro-life movement go from here? Have we just lost this argument? Or what do you say when you're living in the kind of world in which people are applauding the President of the United States when he says, not only are we going to use the corpses of human babies to research possible cures for diseases, but we're going to pay for it out of taxpayer dollars. How should we start to address the issue of calling for the dignity of human life? Do we even have a common reference point anymore in American culture? Are we even able to have that conversation, or do we need to back up and start talking about even more basic level issues? How should we do it? How do you think that we as pro-life citizens and as pro-life Christians ought to articulate the issue of the dignity of human life? Where are we going wrong? Why are we not being persuasive? I mean, the issue is not ultimately that President Obama is signing this policy. He is keeping his word. He is keeping his promise. He promised that he would do this, and he's doing it. The issue is instead, why are we not able to persuade a majority of Americans that doing this is wrong, that this is wicked and short-sighted? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we talk about the issue of the dignity of a baby who may be frozen in a freezer somewhere, who will now be used for parts for research? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. That, of course, is the big news of the day. Today, President Barack Obama announced his executive order calling for the funding of embryonic stem cell research, and this is how he announced it.
Today, with the executive order I am about to sign, we will bring the change that so many scientists and researchers, doctors and innovators, patients and loved ones have hoped for and fought for these past 8 years. We will lift the ban on federal funding for promising embryonic stem cell research. We will also vigorously support scientists who pursue this research.
Now, President Obama was very careful to say he's not doing, remember when John Edwards said that when we fund embryonic stem cell research that Christopher Reeves is going to be able to get up out of that wheelchair and walk again? He's not talking about that. He says we need to understand the limits of this research, but this is how he put it.
Some of our most devastating diseases and conditions. To regenerate the severed spine.
Okay, well, he's talking about the fact that we can't overstate the promise of embryonic stem cell research, that we are going to be able, though, he says, to be able to cure some diseases, there's a possibility, at least, to be able to treat Parkinson's disease and heart disease and cancer and other things. He says, so we ought to be able to try to fund these things through embryonic stem cell research, while at the same time saying, listen, we're able to do this in a way that's consistent with, as he puts it, our moral values. This is how he put it. Or maybe not. He is arguing for the fact that with the promise of funding stem cell research, that we're not going to be put in kind of a scary, brave new world, because we're going to be able to do it with a consistency of listening and respecting the values of Americans who don't understand, who don't agree, as he puts it, with the policy. And so he says we need to understand that a majority of Americans have a consensus on this issue. This is how he put it.
In recent years, when it comes...
Okay.
It's a difficult and delicate balance, and many thoughtful and decent people are conflicted about or strongly oppose this research. And I understand their concerns, and I believe that we must respect their point of view. But after much discussion, debate, and reflection, the proper course has become clear. The majority of Americans, from across the political spectrum and from all backgrounds and beliefs, have come to a consensus that we should pursue this research, that the potential it offers is great, and with proper guidelines and strict oversight, the perils can be avoided. That is a conclusion with which I agree. And that is why I'm signing this executive order, and why I hope Congress will act on a bipartisan basis to provide further support for this research.
You know, I think that's really the critical part of what President Obama had to say today, because he said the reason that he's able to sign this executive order is because there is a clear consensus among the American people that this is right. And indeed, it seems to be that there is no outrage about embryonic stem cell research being funded. Even Senator John McCain, who was, of course, President Obama's opponent in last year's presidential election, is supportive of using taxpayer dollars for this purpose. My question to you is, why is that the case? You have millions of committed, convictional, evangelical, and Roman Catholic Christians in this country. You have millions of pro-life people who say that they're concerned about human dignity and about the sanctity of human life. So why is it that after all of these years, from 1973 until now, we are unable to persuade people? Yeah, people will say in an opinion poll, I believe that life begins at conception, or I believe that abortion ought to be restricted. But when it comes down to the issue of whether or not you're going to use the parts of human beings to fund, to research the cure of diseases, then suddenly we look around and say, hey, I've got an aunt with cancer. I've got a grandmother with Parkinson's disease. I've got a dad with Alzheimer's disease. I've got heart disease or cancer. I want to be able to cure those things. Let me use what's already there, fertilized embryos, in order to try to find a cure. That makes sense to most Americans. President Obama is probably right about that, that there does seem to be a consensus. My question to you is, why? Why are we not able to persuade people of the dignity of what we call an embryo? Why are we even having the conversation about embryos rather than about people, persons, babies? Humanity. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are we just kind of talking ourselves into a losing battle here? And if not, then how should we reframe the discussion? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But even while President Obama insisted that this is a moral values issue, that he understands and is listening to the concerns, and we can do this ethically, he says he will not support human cloning. This is how he put it.
I can also promise that we will never undertake this research lightly. We will support it only when it is both scientifically worthy and responsibly conducted. We will develop strict guidelines, which we will rigorously enforce, because we cannot ever tolerate misuse or abuse. And we will ensure that our government never opens the door to the use of cloning for human reproduction. It is dangerous, profoundly wrong, and has no place in our society or any society.
Yeah, it's really curious to me that President Obama says today that this is ending the using of a political or religious ideology to stifle science and to stifle the progress of science. But it sounds to me like he could be accused of doing the exact same thing by saying we are not going to have human cloning for reproductive purposes. He says it's dangerous. He says it's wrong. He's using the language of morality to say that cloning is wrong. Now, I agree with it. Cloning is wrong. We shouldn't have reproductive cloning technologies. But he doesn't understand, he doesn't get why funding the experimentation and research on human beings for scientific purposes is itself wrong and is itself dangerous and will lead to all kinds of assaults on human dignity. Why haven't we been able to persuade people like Barack Obama? I don't mean the president himself. But why do most of the people in your neighborhoods, when they hear about this decision, say, yeah, it'll help people with Alzheimer's and heart disease? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about the president's decision to issue an executive order allowing the government funding of embryonic stem cell research. Now, I know that that sounds like a really arcane type of discussion about a scientific matter. What this is about, though, is using infants for experimentation purposes, the bodies of human beings, in order to research possible medical discoveries in the future. My question to you is, why is it that this kind of change has come to America with very, very little outrage or tumult, including in our churches? Do you think our people just don't understand what's at stake with human dignity? Or do you think that we have not been as persuasive with our neighbors and our friends and our former citizens about what it means to be human? How should we change that? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What does this mean for the future of the pro-life movement? But before we get to your calls, I have on the line a good friend of mine and my favorite public intellectual in American society today, Professor Robert P. George, who is McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. He is director of the James Madison Program in American Ideals and Institutions, and he's the co-author of the book Embryo, A Defense of Human Life, which was published last year, and it is a very, very helpful resource for you to understand what's going on in this debate right now. Professor George, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Russell, my brother, it's a pleasure to be on the show with you again, and please give my best regards to Al.
I certainly will. Can you just explain for our hearers, Professor George, what does this mean today?
What it means is that we as taxpayers will now be forced to pay for the destruction of human embryos for the purpose of biomedical research. And a human embryo is not something distinct from a human being, the way a frog or a rock or a potato is a different kind of thing from a human being.
Mm-hmm.
All a human embryo is a human being at a certain very early stage of development. Each of us was once an embryo, just mm-hmm. as we were once an adolescent, and before that a child, and before that an infant, and before that a fetus. We developed from the embryonic stage where we began, into and through the fetal, infant, and child, and adolescent stages, and ultimately into adulthood, with our unity and determinateness as a human being, our identity fully intact. To have killed that embryo that was you mm-hmm. way back when would have been to kill you. So we're talking here about the taking of human life, and we're talking about, for the first time, using government funding, taxing the citizens, in order to pay for the destruction of human beings in the embryonic stage in the speculative hope of advancing science and medicine. It's the replacement of our traditional notions of human dignity and the inalienable rights of the human being with what can only be described as the utilitarian ethic. And it's a sad day for America, Russell.
Well, President Obama would probably say, Professor George, well, think about all the good things that can happen through this research. We have people who are suffering greatly with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and heart disease and cancer, and there's at least the possibility that this will alleviate that somewhat. So shouldn't we rejoice with that?
There are always strong temptations to do bad things for good reasons. Mm. We're always tempted as human beings to think, well, a very, very good end will justify even a bad means. But that's what it means to adopt the utilitarian ethic. And it is incompatible with our traditional American and Judeo-Christian conceptions of human dignity and the inalienable worth and the inalienable rights of individual human beings. We should never sacrifice one person for another. Think of the principle that would be involved in that. Consider any individual, any human being, you or me, or let's say a person who might be regarded as having an inferior life by other people, let's say a retarded child.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at that child and you could say, well, what we have there is a heart and a liver and a pancreas and two kidneys and two lungs, and we've got people waiting in line for transplants who are suffering from horrible diseases.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just kill this one person, and we'll actually save 7 or 8 or 9 people as a result. Gee, wouldn't that be justified? Well, the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be justified because we believe in the dignity of the person, the individual human being who may never be sacrificed for the sake of these allegedly higher goals. And by the way, Russell, all those good ends that we do want to achieve through
mm-hmm.
medicine, we do want to heal people, we do want to mitigate suffering, we don't need embryonic stem cell research, embryo destructive research to do that. There have been wonderful developments in the science that enable us to produce the biological equivalent of embryonic stem cells without creating or killing human embryos, nascent human beings. This technology is called induced pluripotent stem cell technology. I'm not talking here about adult stem cells, which
mm-hmm.
are also very powerful and useful tools in biomedical science. I'm talking about the exact equivalent of embryonic cells, which can be produced even today without the use of embryos. Why don't we put our money into that? Why should American taxpayers be funding lethal, literally lethal research when there is an alternative?
You know, some people would say, Robbie, well, you've got all of these IVF clinics and other places in which you have unused embryos that are simply languishing. Why not use, these infants are going to die anyway. These embryos are going to be destroyed anyway. Eventually, why not use them for a good purpose rather than simply to allow them to be wasted?
Two very big points, Russell. First, we've got this scruple, and it's the right scruple to have, against taking life, even where the life is the life of someone who's going to die shortly anyway.
Hmm.
We don't care whether a person's going to die in 5 days or 5 hours or even 5 minutes. We don't kill them to harvest their organs,
mm-hmm.
even to help other people. But more fundamentally even than that, perhaps in this contemporary context, though the embryos in the IVF clinics, the so-called spare embryos that are frozen away in what's called cryopreservation in those clinics, those are not embryos that are scientifically useful. The reason for that is they're not a genetic match to anybody. They're purely the product of the genetic lottery. So if we try to use cells from those embryos in transplantation surgery or regenerative medicine, we would have the great problem that regenerative medicine so often faces of the rejection.
Mm-hmm.
The immune system, the body itself, will reject as foreign those materials, which is why what you really need to do this science properly are cells that are genetically matched to the patient. Now, there are two ways of getting those. One is by cloning, where you mm-hmm. create an embryo that is a genetic match to the human being you want to treat, and then you destroy that embryo, that little twin of the person that you're trying to treat, and you take the cells and you use them so that you won't get rejection by the patient's body. Or the far better way that doesn't involve killing embryos, and that is what I just referred to as induced pluripotent stem cell technology, where you simply take a body cell from you or me or Christopher Reeve or anybody else who needs to be treated,
mm-hmm.
and you reprogram it back to its primitive state, to its stem cell state, really. It's pluripotent. We call it pluripotent state. And then you can use scientific technology to turn that cell into the type of tissue that you need for regeneration. It could be neural tissue. It could be liver tissue or what have you. You don't need to kill embryos. It is unnecessary.
Why do you think, listeners, that the people in your neighborhoods don't understand that argument? Why are so many people enthusiastic about embryo destructive research or just greet it with a yawn? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Are we losing the argument about the dignity of human life? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
You know, people get upset when a president doesn't keep his word, but sometimes it's really, really sad when a president does keep the promises that he has made to the American people, and that's what happened today. President Barack Obama has told us repeatedly during the campaign last year in the primaries for the Democratic nomination and in the general election campaign that he would remove restrictions on the funding of embryo-destructive medical research, and that is exactly what he has done today in an executive order. Lots of applause, lots of accolades, and this means the destruction of lots of lives. What I want to know from you is, why does it seem that most Americans don't see this as a problem? How can we persuade people of the dignity of human life in those who are euphemistically called embryos? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, we have on the line Professor Robert P. George, who is the McCormick Professor of Jurisprudence at Princeton University. And Professor George, now, you are on the President's Council on Bioethics, and I assume that you've not been removed from that council. You're still there, right?
I'm still there. I guess technically I'm advising President Obama, but he hasn't asked for my advice any time recently, I can tell you that.
Now, really? Because he said that he used this extensive process of ethical evaluation of all of these things, and he hasn't consulted the President's Council on Bioethics?
No, I don't think he's consulted anybody who disagrees with him. President Bush, to his credit, consulted widely, including widely among people who didn't agree with him, liberal people, when he made his stem cell decision. And when he appointed his council, he appointed the most diverse council in American history. It had as many as half its members who fundamentally disagreed with the president's pro-life position. Now, I'm not sure that was such a good idea.
Yeah.
Certainly wasn't a great idea politically.
Yeah.
But the president was open to hearing conflicting points of view that conflicted with his own. President Obama, as far as I can tell, is not interested in hearing from people who do not share the left liberal point of view.
Well, that's very interesting, because President Obama said today that over the last 8 years we've had an ideology that's driving science, and now we're turning around to science driving research instead.
That was a very unworthy thing for President Obama to say. One of the things that I find really outrageous about President Obama's position in many areas is that he accuses anyone who disagrees with him of being divisive.
Mm.
Or of being ideological.
Mm-hmm.
In this area of politicizing science. But let's face it, we've got, and he should face it, we have a society in which there are reasonable people of goodwill who disagree on morally charged issues of public policy.
Mm-hmm.
To disagree is not to be divisive, to be political. It's to be honest. And where we disagree, we have a mechanism in democracy for deliberating and deciding what our policy will be. But what we should not do is assume that anybody who disagrees with me is simply doing politics or
mm-hmm.
is being divisive, doesn't have a sincere moral point of view.
Yeah.
It's really, as I say, unworthy of President Obama to resort to that kind of rhetoric and to those kinds of tactics to discredit his political opponents.
Professor George, in the last election, we saw the phenomenon of a so-called pro-life, pro-Obama evangelical and a pro-life, pro-Obama Roman Catholic, those who would say, we're personally pro-life and we're politically pro-life, but we think that voting for Barack Obama will actually reduce abortions. And
well,
so many of them have told us that for a long time. Is that what we're seeing now?
That argument should officially end today. Because however much you think, misguidedly in my view, but however, if you happen to think that Obama's economic policies will be so enlightened that they will reduce the abortion rate, then you should know that in view of today's decision, whatever savings of human lives there are by the abortion rate going down will be unfortunately more than made up for, more than exceeded by the number of tiny human lives that are killed, first created and then killed in biomedical research. You can argue, I don't think it's a good argument, but you can logically argue that, well, policies in the economic area could reduce the abortion rate despite the absence of pro-life laws. But in this area, when you're talking about the government funding of embryo-destructive research, there are no economic policies that are going to reduce that. What Obama has done is just heavily subsidized with tax dollars the taking of innocent human life, really on a massive scale.
Professor Robert P. George, I am glad to stand with you, brother, and I just ask you to keep on speaking and writing and talking to this issue and other issues of human dignity. Thank you, Professor George.
Thank you, Russell.
I want to hear from you. Do you think we're losing the argument about the dignity of human life? And if so, how should we articulate it? How should we reframe the argument to persuade our friends and neighbors, hey, an embryo's life is worth living? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
And let us be thankful when hope is not enough, that death won't bury love. Let us be thankful, boys and girls, for wine and bread and hymns, remembering we follow the beat of amazing grace.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. And I'm sitting here with hope this morning, exactly as Billy Crockett sings, that death won't bury love. But it's not the kind of hope that you see placarded all over in these messianic-looking posters of Barack Obama. It's not a politically engineered hope. It's a hope that instead recognizes that there is a resurrection from the dead, and there is, in fact, a God who loves life and who promises life and that more abundantly. But today is a sad day when you and I have brothers and sisters who will lose their lives because of a piece of paper that has been signed by the President of the United States. It's Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. And what I want to know from you, President Obama tells us most Americans agree with him that it is worth the life of an embryo in order to possibly save the lives of people with diseases. Why do most people agree with him? Why are we unable to persuade them that human life has dignity, even the life of an embryo? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Kara on the line calling from Farmington, New Mexico. Kara, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I truly appreciate it.
Glad to. What's your thought on this?
What I want to say is in every way, the decision that Obama very arrogantly made is absolutely wrong. And what we need to begin doing as Christians is putting our faith in the Lord, having prayer meetings as often as we can at whatever church you go to,
mm-hmm.
Informing our friends and family about why this is wrong, and contact our lawmakers, even on our state level, the White House, everyone you can, as often as you can, and continue to make our voices heard and continue to tell him that it's wrong.
But do you think, Kara, that we've lost the argument? Do you think that the argument is over at some level?
I'm sorry?
Do you think that we've lost this argument? Do you think we're going to be able to persuade people to see the embryo as a human being deserving of dignity?
I don't think so. I think that part of what we do as Christians is let people know about the love of Christ and about how important we are to Him and how we all do have to answer to Him. And just with all of that knowledge comes a realization that life is precious, that it is a gift from God. Everything we have is a gift from God, and we need to respect it and hold it very dear to us. And my heart is absolutely broken today.
All right. Thank you, Kara. I agree with Kara about this because I think that she hit on something there at the end, that this has everything to do with something that is much bigger than a political issue. It's something bigger even than a protecting a human life issue. It's about whether or not you see life as good, or whether or not you see life as something that can simply be manipulated by human beings as though they are gods. That has everything to do with how you preach the gospel and how you hear the gospel. And a culture that is growing callous to life is a culture that is growing callous to being able to hear what Jesus is talking about when he says, "I am offering eternal life." I think that has tremendous consequences for things that are more important than executive orders. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we reframe our discussions about the dignity of human life in order to persuade our neighbors? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Don on the line who's calling from Charlotte, North Carolina, listening on XM Radio. Don, welcome to the Albert Mueller Program.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Moore, for taking my call. I think there are several things we can do to re-engage in this argument. I think foremost is we can much more proactively than we may have done in the past work with other evangelicals and our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters to show that adoption is a much more humane alternative, especially given the alternative of pluripotent stem cells, than is the killing of embryos.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can also acknowledge the fact that we probably underestimated the opposition's sophistication in portraying the evangelical position on life.
Yeah,
and we lost that argument, and so we have to be, perhaps as Jesus said, sly as foxes, and use people like Dr. George's book to make people understand in a more sophisticated way, perhaps drawing the parallel between killing of embryos and eugenics, mm-hmm. just how bad this really is. But I think there's a lot we can still do. We just have to re-engage in a more sophisticated way.
Yeah, you know, Don, I think you're right about the naivete of the way that we've often thought about this issue, because I think we have too quickly assumed that most people were with us, because we're looking at these public opinion polls in which people are saying, oh, we're pro-life. Or you're looking at the number of Republican politicians that were being elected at least at one time, and we think, oh, that means that the American populace is with us, and by us, I'm meaning pro-life, convictional, evangelical, and Roman Catholic, and others in America. But I think we didn't see that what was often at the root of that was not at all biblically or convictionally pro-life. It was simply a political issue. It was simply a way of thinking about one more issue in a train of issues. And I think that we have been too reticent to speak about what is really at stake in the dignity of human life. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. President Obama announces today there is no longer going to be any restrictions on funding with your hard-earned tax dollars the cannibalization of human beings for the purpose of research. I think it's a sad day. What do you think? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mueller, and this is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and I am really, really sad today, even though I expected this for a long time. But President Obama has announced and has actually put into effect with his signature the fact that we are now going to be funding the destruction of so-called human embryos for research purposes. Let me tell you why I think this is greeted with a yawn by so many Americans, including by so many so-called pro-life Christians. It's because it is really hard for people to feel sympathy with an embryo. Even the language that we use tends to dehumanize these infants. But let me tell you what's at stake. God in the creation put all things, he says, under the feet of Adam and Eve, all things that swim in the sea, all things that crawl across the ground, all of the beasts of the field. What he did not put under the feet of humanity is humanity. You do not have the Pharaoh-like ability to use human beings in a dominion-like way. God didn't give that to you. You don't have the authority to do that. President Obama, you don't have the authority to decide who lives and who dies. Medical researchers, you don't have the authority to use the bodies of human beings in order to try to find a cure for any number of diseases or to try to find ways to find other avenues of scientific research. You don't have the right, you don't have the authority. But also there's an even deeper issue here. The Bible tells us that in his incarnation, that Jesus shares his flesh and blood with his brothers, with his sisters. Jesus, in the incarnation, the Bible says, is not ashamed of his brethren. He becomes one of us, and Jesus was an embryo. Jesus was an unborn child. And it doesn't matter how we name these children, it doesn't matter how we attempt to kind of turn our faces away. Jesus says that when we serve the least of these, my brothers, we're serving him. And he says that's going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ. And maybe it's easier to look at the image of that baby in the sonogram wiping his face with a small stumpy hand than it is to look at what seems to be just a blob of cells and to say, that's my brother, that's my sister. But Jesus recognizes his brothers and sisters. And he says, one day you will be called to account for whether or not you recognize them as well. It's a sad day when our government funds the destruction of human beings. It's an even sadder day when we aren't able to say, this is why we believe that life is better than death. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.